Your Bibles this morning into Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs 27, as we was doing our Bible reading this week, a few days ago, read over this, and I've read this passage of Scripture many a time. And it's awesome the way that God just says, look at that. Look at that. You've missed this before. I want you to see it this time. Look at that. And it's a message that's so relevant and so needful in this day in which we live. Proverbs 27, verse number 7. If you found it, would you stand to your feet as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word if you're able this morning. One verse. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse number 7, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Seated. The proverb says, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know, in the time that this was written, you know, we've got so accustomed to everything we have seems like has sugar in it in some way. And we've become accustomed to sweet and sweetness and the things that are so readily available to us. But in the time when this was penned, honeycomb was a delicacy. Honeycomb was a treat. Honeycomb was something that was special that you didn't get every day and you didn't see all the time. And to have something this sweet and this savory to you was just something way beyond our imagination today, because we're so accustomed to receiving it. We're so accustomed to getting it. But when you think about something that you really, really, really like, and think about something that you don't get very often, and you think about how you just long for it and you just anticipate it and you look forward to it. And when you get it, it just means so much to me. But after you get it and you get it for a while and your soul becomes full, pretty soon you say, well, the next time, I don't want any more. I've had enough. And, you know, that's the way, this is a picture of God's people, amen? This is a picture of the church today. This is a picture of our relationship with God. So many of us have got so filled. So many of us have been so blessed. So many of us have just been touched by God in such a special way that it becomes so mundane. It's not special to us. Every experience that we have with the Lord ought to be special to us, amen. But we become so apathetic and so full of all the blessings of God that we forget just how sweet and just how wonderful and just how marvelous our God is, amen. Can you imagine living in a place where you're not allowed to have the Word of God in your possession, and you can't even get a hold of the Word of God, and just a page or just a half of a page out of the Word of God means everything in the world to you, because you desire to hear the Word of God. You desire to possess the Word of God, but you're not permitted to. There are places like that today where people long for a Bible but can't have them. We've seen a video of the people in China when they got their Bibles that had been donated, how they just hugged them and they kissed them and they were so thankful for them. And we take it so for granted that we have the Word of God and we can pick it up anywhere. I've got Bibles everywhere. In my cars, in every vehicle I got, there's a Bible. Everywhere in the house, I can go and lay my hand on a Bible in just a moment of time. At work, I can lay my hand on a Bible. In the bathroom, I got one in the bathroom at work. So everybody, when they go in there, has something to read that's worthwhile. Amen. I want the Word of God everywhere that I can lay my hands upon it. And it's so available to us, but we take it so for granted. Amen. We come into the house of God and we worship. And we don't have to worry about being persecuted. We don't have to worry that armed men are going to storm into our presence and haul us away and lock us in prison. I was telling the folks in Sunday school this morning, sometimes I feel bad, and this scripture just smacked me right in the face when I read it this week. When I recall the picture I just seen recently of the church in the Philippines, where people were standing in water almost to their knees, and the church house was packed, and it wasn't padded pews, and it wasn't pews with the back. They were sitting on benches when they were sitting, but as they were singing in this particular service and this picture was taken, the church house was full of people standing in water this deep just to hear the preaching of the Word of God, and because it was sweet and it was precious unto them. And we've had the opportunity to come in an air-conditioned church in a heated building and sit on padded pews and look at all the empty seats. Amen. We take it so for granted. Amen. Remember Brother Mike White telling us, and we shared this in Sunday school, and they got when the authorities in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, would find out that they were having church, they would be evicted from the place, and a lot of times it was just an apartment. But when they found out that they were having church there, they would be evicted from the apartment or from the place where they were meeting. And he said, we would meet in the forest for a time. We would have to meet in the woods. Even in the wintertime, they would go into the woods to be able to hear the preaching of God's word, to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And yet we can't get people to come to a church where We have the parking lots cleared and the sidewalks are cleared, and you're able to come into the house of God. Reminds me of when I was in the Navy, and a fellow told him that he didn't have a problem with coming to church. He said, but my problem is, he said, I have an air-conditioned house. I have an air-conditioned garage. I have an air-conditioned car. The church is air-conditioned, and I appreciate that. I just haven't figured out how to get from my car into the church. And praise God, that's the way so many Christians have got today. Amen. We are so blessed with all that God has given us, and we let the blessings override the blesser that is provided for our every needs. We have forgot just how sweet Jesus is. We have forgot just how sweet the Lord of hosts has been to us. And he said, the hungry soul, the full soul, loatheth the honeycomb. We're so filled and we're so blessed, and we take it for granted, and we forgot how good and how sweet and how wonderful he really is. Is there anything in this world that's any sweeter than the love of God? Amen. Can you tell me of any love anywhere that you can find that will surpass the love of God? I don't think there is. A young person, you might be here today and you might be in love, but let me tell you something. That love is great for the moment, but it will not surpass the love of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, next week you're liable to be in love with somebody else. Amen. Yeah. See? You know what I'm talking about. There's nothing like God's love. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Amen. Everlasting means it's always going to be there. Everlasting means it's never going to fade away. Everlasting means you can always call on it and count on it, depend on it. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved you so much that he gave the very best that he had to offer. He gave his only son. He didn't love you because you were worthy of being loved, but the Bible even says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve to be loved, but praise God, his love is so sweet, his love is so wonderful, his love is so marvelous, and he even loves us when we're sinners and we don't deserve his love at all. Amen. The Bible says over in 1 John chapter 3, he says, in this is love, that Christ died for us. Praise God. I'm glad he loved me like that. I'm glad that his love is all encompassing. encompassing that Christ would die for us. Amen. It's sweet. That's why I like to come to church. That's why I like to be near Him. That's why I like to be around His people. I want to be around folks who know about the love of God. God is love. Amen. And praise God, because He is love, He's manifested His love in every way that He could to us. And there's not a love in this world that's sweeter than the love of God. Amen. There's nothing sweeter than the grace of God. Amen. The Old Testament saints lived under the law of God. And praise God, if you think we demand a whole lot out of you in the church today, or the Bible demands a whole lot of you in the church today, you ought to try living under the law of God. Amen. Teenagers, listen. Do you know what the penalty was for disobedience under the law? You died. You know what the penalty was for about everything under the law? You died. Amen. A disobedient teenager. The parents said, hey, my teenager won't listen to what I say. And the Bible says they were to take him out and stone him. He died. Amen. Amen. You had a wife or a husband that was unfaithful, amen, and committed adultery, you didn't worry about a divorce. Amen. God took care of that. Amen. They took him out and stoned him. Amen. You had somebody whatever it was, it done 99.9% of the penalty for violating the law of God when they lived under law was you died. And because of the law, and because of the righteousness of God, and because of God's desire for man to understand His nature and His condition, He gave us the law that we might see ourselves incapable of fulfilling of the plan and the will of God. But by His marvelous grace, amen, and grace is nothing new to God. Adam and Eve found grace in Genesis chapter number 3. The Bible says Noah found grace in Genesis chapter 8. In Titus chapter number 2, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And praise God, I'm glad today that we can know grace, and we can know the sweetness of God's mercy. We can know the sweetness of His love because He manifested to us in His grace. You know, outside of grace, there's nothing any sweeter than the mercy of God. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, Joshua said, he said, it's because of thy mercies that were not consumed. He says, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I've told you all before, everybody's got their Bible heroes. Some say, well, I like David, he's a Bible hero. I like Paul, he's a Bible hero. I like John. My Bible heroes are mercy and grace, amen. And I don't make no bones about that. If it wasn't for God's mercy and grace, amen, there would be no hope for me. There would be no hope for you. There would be no hope for mankind. We'd be destined to a devil's hell. But praise God, because He loved us enough to shed upon us His mercy and grace, we can know the sweetness of God's love and His compassion to man. Amen. That He created. Yes. Amen. Praise God, we take it for granted. We come to church and we come all pooch mouth. Sit around and bless me if you can this morning. What are you going to entertain me with today? I'm not here to entertain you. Amen. If you're looking for entertainment, amen, go somewhere else. Amen. I'm never going to be an entertainer. I'm never going to stand before you with the purpose of entertaining you. I want to tell you about God that created the universe. I want to tell you about His love and how He has shared His love to you and displayed His love to you through His grace and mercy, and how you can be saved and not split hell wide open. I want to tell you how He wants you to go to a place that He's prepared for you. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven, but I got news news for you. Only those who've been bought with the blood of Jesus and claim Christ as their Savior are going to go to heaven and going to know the joys that God has prepared. And I don't care what the rest of the world and what any other preacher wants to tell you. Paul said if anybody preaches any other gospel, don't even listen to him. Amen. Why? Because it's the sweetest story ever told. Amen. It's the sweetest message that's ever been given. I can't read that old Bible. I hear everything. Man, we hear every excuse. Wait, we don't go to church down there because nobody likes me down there. Everybody's against me. The preacher don't like me. The deacons don't like me. The Sunday school teachers don't like me. Nobody likes me. No, everybody loves you. Amen. Let me tell you this. Let me make this perfectly clear. We don't like you. We love you. Amen. Amen. And we love you enough that we're going to tell you the truth. Amen. Amen. He said, well, I can't read that Bible. It's old. It's antiquated. The words are funny. The words are this. The words are that. You can understand it if you want to. It's amazing how the same ones that tell me they can't read and understand the Bible when they're trying to argue their points can pull the scriptures out that they want to use to, amen, to argue with you, against you. So someone, some half-baked teacher or some half-baked Christian somewhere has told him, well, hey, look at this. It says this, and they take scripture out of context and want to try to tell you. And they want to try to tell some upstart teenagers want to argue with me sometimes. Amen. And want to tell me what the Word of God says. Now I'll listen to them until they get wrong. Amen. But when they get wrong, it's time for them to get right. Amen. And the only way to get right is to get back in the Word of God. You know what the Word of God does? The psalmist said in Psalms 19:10, the psalmist said, thy Word is sweeter than the honeycomb. In Psalms 119 and 103, he says, thy word was in my mouth as honey. Amen. Let me tell you what, that's a sweet old book. Amen. That's a sweet old word that we got. I preach unto you what God has said to preach unto you. And you ought to be glad I'm preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God and not what I think, feel, or believe, because most of you wouldn't like to hear what I think, feel, or believe about some of the things that you're doing in your lives. You come in and you say, Pastor, we need help. I've got this going on, that going on, and this going on. And you go right back to the same old things when the blessed old book tells you to live separated, to live apart, to live a peculiar life under God. And you keep doing the same old things and you keep getting the same old results and you keep whining the same old wine. Praise God, I get sick of it. But God tells me to be long-suffering. God's Word is compassionate. God's Word is filled with second and third and fourth and fifth chances. God's Word is filled with forgiveness, not seven times, but 7 times 70. God's Word is one of the sweetest things you'll ever hear. God's Word is the Word that brings salvation. How shall they hear without a preacher? And praise God, they got to hear the Word of God. They need to hear the gospel story. And praise God, I tell you, it's sweeter than anything you'll ever know. Amen. Praise God, I want you to know something this morning. There's nothing sweeter than the presence of God. Amen. You ever been someplace and been all alone and then Jesus just showed up? Amen. Just you and Him. Amen. Just you and Him. There's nobody else around. You can't give the glory to the preacher. You can't give glory to the musicians or the singers. It wasn't at the concert. It wasn't at the big revival that was going on. It was just you and Jesus, and He showed up. And when He showed up, praise God, things changed. When He showed up, things got exciting. When He showed up, the tears began to flow, and things got sweet, because there's nothing sweeter than having a companion that walks with you and talks with you and stays with you. He goes through the valleys with you. He goes through the storms with you. He goes through the trials with you. And praise God, He's there in the times of celebration with you. There's nothing sweeter than the presence of God. And I tell you, we miss it because we get so apathetic. We get so filled, amen, that we forget just how good it is. every time he shows up. Amen. He says he'd be our companion. He says he'd be our teacher. He says he would be our strength and our help. He says he would be our hope. He says he would be all that we need. There's nothing sweeter than that. Praise God. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. And praise God. I tell you what, you ever smell a flower? You ever catch the hint of honeysuckle? And it smells so sweet and so good. And you look to see where it's coming from. You can be riding down the road with your windows open. Amen. And you smell that honeysuckle and you start looking for it. It's so sweet. You want to know where it comes from. Amen. Or you smell, you walk to a garden and you smell a flower that has an extraordinary fragrance to it. Lilac is one of my favorites. The smell of a lilac bush. Amen. And then you catch a whiff of it on the wind and you look and you see that the bush has bloomed. Amen. You may have missed it. And it's there, but it's so sweet. And that's just what Jesus is to us. He's the sweetest thing that we could ever know. But we loathe it. He said the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. They loathe it. It's amazing how something so sweet and so good. How someone that has done so much for us can be loathed so much. Folks loathing this morning. Now, I'm going to make some of you mad right here. I'm going to tell you right off. We got campers and we got mileage points, and we got this and we got that. We've got all kinds of things to get away. And there's nothing wrong with getting away. Nothing wrong at all with getting away. We go get away every now and then. But let me tell you something. When we make our plans to go get away, you know what's first and foremost in our itinerary? Is where am I going to go to church? Amen. We'll see pictures on Facebook today of people that are away. Ain't got no time for God. Why? They loathe him. They've had so much of it. They loathe him. We see people that are going to be at the drag strip. People are going to be at the tractor pools. People are going to be at the Cecil County Fair here in a few weeks. People who are going to be shopping and people who are going to be here, they're going to be there. They're going to be doing this and they're going to be doing that on the Lord's Day. They can't make time to come to the house of God. Amen? And honestly, they don't have a desire to be in the house of God. Because they've been so blessed that they've done forgot about who's done all the blessing. They're so blessed, they forget about why they are blessed. For God so loved. For God's amazing grace. For God's sweet mercy. For God's sweet presence. They forgot all about this because they've been so blessed and they've become so filled and they've become so full. And they loathe coming to the house of God. They don't want to come where truth is preached because it interferes with their lifestyle. They don't want to come where his presence is sought because it brings conviction to their lifestyles. They don't want to come to where power examined, and power is exemplified in souls being saved, lives on the altars repenting for their sins, and getting their lives changed, and getting their hearts right with God, because it might interfere with the things that they want to do and the lifestyles they want to live. The children of Israel were brought out of bondage, and they begin to whine and to moan and to complain because of the leeks and the cucumbers and all the stuff that they had left back in Egypt. And God had given them manna. He had given them angels' food, the corn of heaven, it is called. And it said he'd given them what to come from the glory world, and they had it every day and didn't have to do a thing for it. It was there for them because of God's love and his compassion and his care for them. And they loathed what God had given them. They loathed what God was blessing them with. You know all they had to do? They didn't have to go plant a garden. They didn't have to go and till the ground and toil in the sun. Every morning all they had to do was get up and go outside and collect the blessings of God. It was that easy. Amen? It was that easy. You know what? It's still that easy. Amen? It's still that easy. They began to loathe what God had blessed them with. And they wanted flesh. They were tired of this heavenly food. And they wanted flesh. They wanted what everybody else in the world was eating. They had something special, and they wanted this. So God gave them a taste. And you know what the problem is in our churches today? God has given us a taste. And we've liked the taste of the world better than we've liked the taste of what God has provided. Amen. Amen. Until they realized that it was coming out their ears. And it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. And what God had given them in the first place was better than what they had longed for and desired. They began to loathe the things of God. That's what's wrong in Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. That's why people that you see who used to be faithful aren't here anymore. It's the preaching, it's the singing, it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too young, it's too old, it's too this, it's too that. No. No, it's not. You're too blessed. And you've taken the blessings of God for granted. Amen. You've been too blessed with the sweetness of God. And you forgot just how far he's brought you and just where he's brought you from. It said the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. We're stuffed with the pleasures of the world. Demas, Paul said, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The rich young ruler wanted to know how to go to heaven. And when Jesus told him what he had to do, the Bible says he was sad because he had many riches. We're satisfied with religion. And religion's okay because religion don't preach about sin. Amen? Religion's in the game of trying to separate you from your wallet as much as possible. Religion wants to make you feel good about yourself. Let me tell you something. In comparison to God and in comparison to his righteousness, I never feel good about myself. Amen. The only thing that makes me feel good is knowing that one day, someplace, I ask Jesus into my heart, and his righteousness has covered my sins. His righteousness has preserved me and made me whole. we're filled with conceit and our intelligence, and we know so much more than anybody else. We're so much smarter than anybody else, and nobody can tell us anything. We don't want to hear it. We've heard it all before, and this is just something else that we don't need to hear. Festus looked at the Apostle Paul as he was telling him about Jesus and said, "Paul, too much learning has made you mad." Paul said, no. We're ingrained with spiritual ignorance because we don't want to know. We pretend that we want to know. We come to church and we make pretense that we want to know. Many of you here this morning, if you had your choice, wouldn't be here. It's the truth. I told you it's going to make some of you mad. But the truth will stand when the world's on fire. Many of you, if you had your actual choice, wouldn't be here. You're here because you're trying to please somebody. You're here because you was made to come. You had no choice in coming. You're here because you feel obligated to come. But deep down inside, your heart is somewhere else. We're ignorant to what God wants to do and what God can do. And we don't want anybody telling us about our bad selves unless they're going to tell us how great we are, unless they're going to tell us how good we are, unless they're going to tell us on how much we deserve blessings. See, we don't want to hear that we're just a bunch of no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinners that deserve to be in hell. We want to hear what wonderful people that we really are. In Acts chapter 17, Paul was at Mars Hill, and the Stoics and the Epicureans and the philosophers come to hear what new thing this man had to say. They didn't want to know about Jesus. They wanted to reinforce their knowledge and their abilities and their philosophy and their way of thinking. And when you try to come into God's house and you want to everything to go according to your way of thinking, you're going to run smack dab head on into the Word of God. That will tell you exactly who you are. It will tell you exactly where you're going. It will tell you exactly what you've done. And Jesus holds no punches back. When he met the woman in Samaria at Jacob's well, she said, "He told me all things that ever I had done." Amen. And it wasn't pretty, but she got to hear it. You see, we're so stuffed, we're so satisfied, and our souls have become so loathsome. We don't want to hear truth anymore. We've been fed a diet of indifference for so long that when we hear truth, it smacks us right in the face. We hear indifference on TV. We hear indifference in the world. We hear indifference in everything that we do. We hear indifference in all these situations. We see it brought out in race. We see it brought out in culture. We see it brought out in our economic standards. We see it brought out in every aspect of our lives and every aspect that we face in the world that the world can use to try to keep us from the truth of God's Word. And praise God, when God's Word smacks us right in the face, we don't want to hear it because we've been fed indifference for so long. I don't want to hear that. I only want to hear you tell me what I want to hear. I only want to hear what I think, feel, and believe. I don't need it, preacher. And I'm not listening to it, preacher. and I'm not dealing with a preacher. Don't tell the preacher, tell God. Amen. I'm just a messenger. I just deliver the message that he gives me. But look at what he says. The full soul loatheth and honeycomb. We've been so blessed. But so many loathe the blessings of God. He said, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I tell you what, I hope I never get so self-satisfied that I don't want Jesus. Amen. I hope I never get so self-satisfied that I don't want to open his precious word and see the promises and see the blessings that he has pronounced upon me as a child of God in my life. I hope I never get to the place to where I think I know it all and I don't need his word anymore to instruct me in my life. Every time I open this book, every time I read through his word, every year as I go through it, he shows me things that I've never seen before, and he helps me to realize every day, he helps me to realize every moment, he helps me to realize every second that I dwell in this precious old book, just how much he loves me, and just how much he cares for me, and just how much he was willing to give for me, simply because he's who he is, and he knows who I am, and he knew I was without help, and I was without hope in this world, and yet he said in his son to die for me. Amen. And all the way from Genesis to Revelation, I begin to see his preparation and to know his completion. Amen. And in every bit of it, I know that I'm loved and I'm cared for. Look at what Job said in Job chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. He says, my foot hath held his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said there was nothing more important than adhering and following to the Word of God. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the preacher cuts to the quick. Sometimes the Spirit brings up things that we had tried to hide and we don't want to deal with, and it brings them to memory. Sometimes it's bitter when the Word of God pierces asunder to the heart and soul. It's hard to swallow, but it's so sweet. Amen. When I realize that all he was doing was helping me to get myself in a place where my walk and my talk and my life could be a reflection of what he wants it to be. Praise God. It's hard sometimes to make it to church when you've worked hard all day and you've run into the house and sometimes you don't eat and you don't do anything but change clothes and run right back out to get to the house of God. But he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but even more so as you see the day approaching. In the verse before that, it says, provoke one another. It's so hard to get here. But when you do, it's so sweet to be here. Amen. Amen. It's hard sometimes. Man, some of these things are bitter. But man, once you taste them, they become so sweet. Amen. You don't like the kind of preaching that I preach. You say, preacher, can't you tell us some happy things? I'll tell you what. The forgiveness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God is about the happiest thing you can ever know. Amen. God didn't call me to be an ear tickler. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul told Timothy in the last days, people would have itching ears. And they would pick them the preachers that told them the things that they want to hear. If you're looking for that, just let me know and I'll leave. But God says, cry aloud and spare not. People have condemned me for the way I preach. I preach biblically.
Amen.
Cry aloud and spare not. Amen. And he didn't say, tell my people how great they are and how wonderful they are and how blessed they are to be my people. But he says, cry aloud and spare not. Show my people their transgressions.
Amen.
In the house of Jacob, their sins.
Amen.
Amen. My job is to get you to see yourself the way that God sees you. To see you where God knows that you are. And get you to see yourself in need of what God has to offer. Prayer. You know, one of the hardest things I have to do is praying. Any of y'all have that problem?
Yes.
Time to pray. I try to pray, and no matter where I try to pray, somehow, some way, the devil finds a way to interrupt me. Amen? Amen? I could be praying, my wife know I'm praying, she'll come interrupt me. I said, can't you see I'm praying? Well, I thought you needed, that can wait. You can be saying grace over your food at work, and people see your head bowed, see you praying. And they'll come in and start talking to you. I said, can't you see I'm praying? I can be alone going down the road in my truck a-praying. And you know what? The devil comes by and he puts everything in your mind. But praying to God. And it seems so hard. It seems so frustrating and aggravating trying to pray and trying to keep your focus and trying to keep your mind on what you're praying about, what you're praying for, and why you're praying. Oh, but when you know you've reached the throne room. When you know that the Spirit has intervened on your behalf and has made the groanings that we're not able to utter before God. It's so sweet. And burdens are lifted and cares are taken away. We get upset when people rebuke us and people make fun of us because we are Christians. And because maybe we want to pray. We're out with our friends and I just caught Billy's line. You godless heathens, ain't you going to say? Hey man, I'll tell anybody that. I've told preachers that. Got all carried up and talking, forgot to say grace. Amen. Tell my wife that. Tell my grandkids that. I'll tell any of you all that. Amen. If you go out with me and you start eating before we say grace, they need to be told, don't they, Billy? Amen. You godless heathen. Aren't you going to thank God? And they get all upset. They get mad. They make fun of you because you're a Christian. They get fun of you because you're peculiar. They make fun of you because you want to live close to the Lord. But it's so sweet when Jesus comes by and says, that's all right. They rejected me too. That's all right. They didn't want anything to do with me either. That's all right. You can be different. Because I know the difference. I told on Sister Sherry here a while back. I was up with somebody having, I guess Mark was having surgery. And I seen her go to lunch. And I seen the whole group that she was with. They all sit down at the table and they all were talking and eating. And I looked over at Sister Sherry, and I'm not saying this to embarrass her, but, you know, I look over, she bowed her head and prayed to God. And you know what? I seen it. I know God seen it. But I know her friends and her colleagues and her co-workers seen it. Amen. And it will have an effect. Her faith may be the thing that brings somebody to come to her one day and say, I see you pray before you eat. Why do you pray? And boom, the door is open to share Christ and Him crucified. And why she can pray and be thankful. And why the individual can have that same peace. Friend, salvation is sweet. When I was out of God's will, when I was lost and undone, it was the scariest thing I ever heard, that I was going to go to hell. And I was going to split hell wide open unless I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I was going to go to hell, not because I'm a bad person, for all have sinned and come short of glory. We all born this way. And the wages of sin is death in a place called hell. And it's scary and it's bitter to be confronted with the truth that you deserve to be in hell. You know what? I deserve to be in hell. But because God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, I now have a hope of an eternity in heaven. I deserve to suffer and die. But God loved me just where I was as a sinner and sent His Son to die for me. It was a bitter thing to have to swallow my pride. It was a hard thing to surrender my will and my life unto His. But the sweetest thing I've ever known is knowing Jesus as my Savior. The sweetest journey I've ever taken is the journey on which He's taken me on since the day that I've surrendered my life to Him. The greatest peace I've ever experienced, the sweetest peace, is to know when I pillow my head at night, when I get in the car and go down the road during the day, when I get in the airplane to fly, or I get on a ship to go across the ocean, no matter where I'm at, if I should die, I'm still His. And nothing can take that away. And that'll never grow old. That'll never grow loathsome. Though we may get weary in well-doing, what God has for us is sweeter than anything the world has to offer us. Right.